Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Late Night
on Sports Radio WEEI.
Let's get it going. This is Late Night
right now
on Sports Radio WEEI
with Brian Barrett.
All right, well, away we go. Brian Barrett with you for the next 2 hours or so. If you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. All right, so it's funny. Last week when I was on at this time, I was talking about the game coming up with the Redskins, and I said, what could we possibly learn about this Patriots team? Because coming off the Bills' loss, the offense was atrocious. Brady had an awful interception in that game, and you were going up against a Washington Redskins team that is still without a win on the season. They were horrible. So even if the offense looked good in that game, what could we learn out of the offense in that scenario? Same thing going into the Giants game. What could we learn about the Patriots against the Giants in terms of the offense? Because even if they played really well, it wouldn't really mean much because the Giants heading into the weekend were 30th in total defense. The Redskins were terrible defensively, and the Patriots had an awful first half offensively. Now, they figured some things out in the second half of the football game. But last night, all in all, the Patriots' offense was not good, and this is now continuing to be a trend for this team where offensively it is a complete mess. The offensive line is a joke right now, and I'm sympathetic to the fact that you have injuries there. Now you're down not one but two fullbacks, and outside of Julian Edelman, who can you really depend on in this receiving core right now? But the thing that stuck out to me after the game last night is Ben Volen of the Boston Globe was asking Tom Brady a certain question after this one.
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
We'll see. We're 6-0, so try to get 7-0.
How long was that pause? That was like a 10-second pause before Brady said, we'll see. He was thinking about it. He was trying to say something that wouldn't offend everybody in the locker room. That's what he was trying to avoid right there. He knew what he really wanted to say is, we suck right now. We're not good enough. I need a lot of help in terms of the receiving core. He just didn't say it. He just didn't say it. He had to gather his thoughts. That's Tom Brady, one of the most polished guys at the podium, and he had to pause because he didn't know how to answer the question. He knows right now, clearly, he's been on 6 Super Bowl teams. He knows this offense isn't good enough right now. But this is what aggravates me about Brady in this particular scenario. Brady's the guy that's supposed to squash some of this narrative, right? Because now we knew that in this town, there's going to be negativity naturally after that performance last night. Naturally, there's going to be negativity surrounding the Redskins' performance as well from the offense. And we're not getting into the defense right now because the defense was outstanding. You expect that. But I'm talking about the offense. There was going to be negative thoughts from the media, right? I remember when Rick Pitino famously said, the negativity in this town sucks. Well, this is the problem now. The quarterback is the one adding to the narrative. He's giving the narrative shelf life by having an answer like that last night. What you want to hear from Tom Brady after the game last night, and I understand we want honesty with our athletes, right? Well, that's not what I want from the quarterback of the team. What I want Tom Brady to say after the game last night is pretty simple. It's still a work in progress, but we feel good about what we did tonight. We're going to try to get better each and every week. That's normally what you get out of Tom Brady. Somehow he's gone from the prince of positivity to Eeyore. Like overnight, Tom Brady has went out of his way on multiple different occasions talking about how he doesn't really factor negative things in. He's a very positive person. How many times has Tom Brady referenced the fact in his life that he's a very positive person? And then last night at the podium, he takes a 10-second pause and says, we'll see. He knows what's going to happen today after that occurs at the podium last night. Everybody's going to be talking about the Patriots offense. In fact, it's actually taking away Tom Brady's actions with how he's been talking about not only the receiving core over the past couple of weeks. Oh, it takes a lot for the young guys to learn everything. And then he talked about the tight ends earlier in the week, and he said, quote, they're trying. Okay, these are the comments that Tom Brady's making about the tight end group. And look, it's not good right now. You see Ryan Izzo try to block the receiving group. He's saying it takes a lot for these young guys to figure it out. And last night when he's asked, is the offense going to get better? We'll see. We'll see. So Tom Brady's actually taking away some of the attention that this defense deserves right now for being such a great unit, because Tom Brady is adding fuel to the fire. Tom Brady is making this more of a controversy than it already is. He's highlighting the problem. He's coming out on the podium and highlighting the problem. And that's the issue I have with it from Brady's perspective, because he's right. Everything he says is right. He's completely 100% spot on. But we've never really seen this from the quarterback, where he's basically going out of his way to beg the organization, to beg Robert Kraft, to beg Bill Belichick to make a move for him. That's where Brady's at right now. And the question that I would have is this: when is it going to stop? So once Brady gets a receiver, once they go out at the trading deadline, and we can get into some of the names in a little bit here, by the way, the number 617-779-7937. So once he gets that guy, is Brady going to stop talking about this crap? Is Brady going to stop going out to the podium and setting a bad tone for the team? Because if you're a member of the Patriots right now, in terms of the offense, you're thinking about it from Jacoby Myers' perspective. He had 4 catches on 4 targets last night. One of the positive things to come out of the offense, one of the only positive things to come from the offense last night, was the play of Jacoby Myers. For this first time really all season long, and I understand that he has not really been given opportunities, but for the first time really all season, Jacoby Myers was a factor in the offense last night. So Jacoby Myers, you hear that comment from Tom Brady, you're like, oh, man, I thought I did pretty good tonight. I thought I played pretty well. And look, nobody's going to question Brady's leadership or anything along those lines, but it's just frustrating to see the quarterback go up and be Eeyore at the podium, it seems like, week after week after week. I cannot remember a time in Tom Brady's career where he's been so negative week after week after week after week. And I'm starting to think back to this with Tom Brady. You think about it from this perspective. He thought that they figured this thing out with Antonio Brown, because they had a receiver in here that they thought was going to be able to bring this offense to a different dimension, which clearly everybody could see why he would think that. Antonio Brown's one of the best 3 receivers, 5 receivers, wherever you rank. I mean, somewhere in the top 5 in the NFL in terms of his ability as a receiver. And ever since then, Brady's been a very negative individual. And I'm sure part of it is the fact that the owner basically went out of his way to make it abundantly clear that Tom Brady wanted him so badly. He wanted him, I'm 100% in, I'm 1,000% in, I'm 1,000,000% in. And then after 11 days, that guy's no longer a member of the organization. So from Brady's perspective, he understands that right now he's in a position that he's never really been in since he became Tom Brady. Now, it's one thing earlier on in his career where Brady comes in for Bledsoe. They ask him to be the game manager, so to speak. And we continue on with that for a couple of years. But then eventually it becomes Brady's team, and Brady becomes one of the most famous football players in the history of the sport. He becomes the greatest player of all time. I can't imagine what this is like for Tom Brady. And maybe that's part of the reason that he's expressing this frustration through his post-game press conferences and through his press conferences throughout the week. So maybe part of the reason Brady's doing this is because of the fact that he realizes, really for the first time in his career, his offense, right, and I'm talking about since he really became Tom Brady, his offense is not good enough and could be one of the main reasons that this team can't get to ultimately where it wants to get to, which is winning a Super Bowl, because that's what's on Brady's mind. He's 42 years old. He's in a walk year in his contract. He wants to get back to the Super Bowl and win another Super Bowl. And now if you really look at this, Brady's looking around. He's saying, I don't have that opportunity right now. I don't have that chance to be able to do that. And I have to imagine that Brady, who has been carrying this team, remember when they went to the Super Bowl in 2011, they had one of the worst defenses in the NFL. It was atrocious for years up until really 2014. Until we got to really around 2014, the Patriots, and I get usually they find their way into the top 10 in terms of scoring defense. But remember, there was a large portion of the Patriots' reign, if you will, with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, where they were really striking out defensively. Belichick was having bad drafts with defensive players, and bad drafts with corners in particular was a position he really struggled drafting. So there was about a 5-6 year period where the defense really, really sucked. Okay, really sucked. And Brady carried this team. Brady was going to the AFC Championship year after year after year. So he was carrying the team. Okay, so he knows what it was like for the guys on the other side of the football, the defensive players, to see what they were going through, where they were getting carried by Tom Brady. And now the coin has been flipped. Brady's sitting there and he's like, I can't do it. I can't do it with this group of players. And that has got to be incredibly aggravating for a guy of Brady's stature, for a guy like Tom Brady, who's the best to ever do it, to have to sit here and say, well, they're not blocking up front. I don't have dependable wide receivers, receivers in general, with the exception of Julian Edelman right now. How am I going to get it done with this group? How am I going to get it done with this group? And maybe for the first time, really, in Tom Brady's career. He can't control it at the podium. Because I would say that if you're going to grade Tom Brady in terms of his press conferences this year, now for us in the media, I give him an A because he's given us plenty to talk about this year. He's given us plenty to talk about this year. But if you're going to grade him on his leadership with this team this year, his leadership, by the way he acts with the media, by the way he acts in his post-game press conferences and his in-season press conferences, I would give Tom Brady an F this year. It has been bad. He has not been a good leader publicly for this team. When you say something like that, how does that instill confidence in the rest of the team? Now, I'm with Brady, okay, because obviously what Brady's saying without saying it is they need to make additional moves. And we know the Patriots are going to eventually make a move. The question's going to be, is that move going to be enough to put them over the top offensively? Because right now, they need a huge upgrade in terms of what they have in terms of talent at the wide receiver position. I'm with Brady on that. But I just never expected that we would get to this point with Tom Brady. He's always been the guy that has avoided controversy in terms of he never gets into these issues with the media like we see with quarterbacks all the time. Like Baker Mayfield says something dumb every time he goes up to the podium. But right now, Tom Brady seems incredibly unhappy. And I think this is bad for the ethos and the culture of the team right now, because clearly the most important player in the history of the franchise is completely aggravated. And I really do think part of this whole thing, it goes back to the contract and it goes back to the Antonio Brown situation, right? He's 42 years old. He's in a walk year. He got fake incentives last year. And now he's looking at a very similar situation where he wants to be able to go to the negotiating table and say, look at my numbers. I was outstanding. And when Antonio Brown got here, he kind of had that opportunity. He kind of had that opportunity to put up ridiculous numbers this season and maybe even do this. Because remember, this was a legitimate narrative at the time they picked up Antonio Brown. 16-0, a possibility. So Tom Brady's looking at it as, okay, I'm going to have an unbelievable statistical season, not to mention the fact that I'm going to have the opportunity to possibly, because remember, the Patriots on paper have one of the easiest schedules in the NFL. So Brady's thinking to himself, maybe we can chase down history. And I know that he even answered that question. He said, oh, we're not thinking about that. We take it week by week, right? But you have to at least factor that in a little bit. When you know how good this defense is, right? When Tom Brady realizes how great this defense is right now, remember, he was talking about how great it was all training camp. He realizes how good that side of the football is. And then you look at the offense, getting a guy like Antonio Brown to go along with Julian Edelman, to go along with the James White. If you're Tom Brady, you're saying, hey, I just have to be pretty good. We just have to be in the top 10 in the NFL in terms of our offense this year. We don't even have to be the best offense. And we have a legitimate chance to do something really, really special this season in terms of maybe can we get to where we were in 07? Can we get to where we were in 07? Because I would ask you this question right now. This team is on pace to have a better point differential than the 2007 team did. Okay, the 2007 Patriots, ironically, they lost to the Super Bowl. I guess that's not really ironic. But nonetheless, getting back to the original point, the 07 Patriots team that didn't win the Super Bowl had the best point differential in the history of the damn sport. And right now, this Patriots team is on pace to have a better point differential than that team. But does anybody have that level of confidence? Do you feel any way like you did in 2007? Think about that. This team has been so damn dominant that they're on pace right now. They're on pace right now to have the best point differential in the history of the sport. And do you really have confidence? Do you really feel good about where the Patriots are at right now and their chances to win another Super Bowl? Because at this point, you have to say the offense has not been living up to its end of the bargain. They were struggling with the Giants last night. It was 14-14 right before halftime. And if it isn't for a situation last night where you have a blocked punt for a touchdown, Chase Winovich ends up in the end zone. You had three interceptions. You also had a fumble that they took to the house as well. And who was it? Kyle Van Noy, excuse me. You had so many plays last night from the defense where it's like, okay, you had three interceptions, what, in the first half of that game? Any other year with Tom Brady and company, that game is over at halftime. That is a 28-3 game. That is a 28-7 game. And in this game last night, it was a close game at halftime. You're up by 7 points against one of the worst teams in the NFL, and your defense won you the game. The offense didn't win you the game last night. And again, another thing with this Patriots team that you look at last night, the running game. It hasn't got going whatsoever. So, like, what people were telling me in the offseason when I was having concerns about the lack of weapons that the Patriots had, people would call up and say, hey, they're going to be a run-heavy team like they were a year ago. And I could say, all right, I can get on board with that. I can see where you're coming from. They're going to be a power-running team like they were a year ago. Well, now James Devlin's out. Your backup fullback is out. There's no blocking tight end. You see Izzo try to block. He can't. Okay, so there's none of that. You have David Andrews, who is on IR. He's not coming back. He has, of course, the blood clot issue. Not that the Patriots could account for that. But then you look at Marshall Newhouse. That may be the worst left tackle I've ever seen. And I'm not saying that hyperbolically. That is one of the worst left tackles I have ever seen. That guy is absolutely atrocious. Absolutely atrocious. He has now played on 8 NFL teams. You're wondering why, right? I mean, why the hell is that guy on the Patriots right now? Because they're so hurting for offensive linemen because of the injuries. So the hope is that Isaiah Wynn comes back. But Isaiah Wynn is somebody that ever since he stepped foot in the NFL, the guy can't stay healthy. There's no way around that. The guy can't stay healthy. He's played a game and a half, right, for the Patriots. So you're hoping you get him back and he can perform at a high level. But you're never going to have that dominating running game, rather, than you had a year ago, because you're out of a fullback. James Devlin's not here. His backup's not here. Now, hopefully James Devlin can get back, but I'm not holding out hope for that. It doesn't seem like that's going to be likely. You look at the fact that you have a backup fullback out. You have Rob Gronkowski no longer part of the equation in terms of the blocking tight end, one of the best blocking tight ends that we've ever seen in the NFL, and everybody will tell you that. Remember, they kept pointing it out on the broadcast last year, and I took it for granted at the time. I'm like, I want to see him involved in the passing game. It's like, no, that was actually a really vital role for the Patriots last year, Gronkowski in the block game, and David Andrews is a much better player than Ted Karras, which, oh, by the way, his snaps were a little bit better last night, but can we get that thing going a little bit instead of a lollipop? I don't know what that is. But nonetheless, I just don't see the solutions for the Patriots right now from an offensive perspective unless you go out there and you get something externally, which I imagine they're going to do at some point. But now it's just getting to the point where you have this long break in between games. You played last night. You don't play again until Monday. And this is the storyline for the Patriots for the next week or so, 10 days or so, because the quarterback made it more of a story than it needed to be last night. Everybody knew that the Patriots offense was not good. But why does Brady have to go out to the podium last night and make it an even bigger story? He knows exactly what he's doing. He knows exactly what he was doing last night by that. And by the way, this time in particular, we know that Brady was upset that they let go of Antonio Brown. Remember, he was on the Greg Hill show a couple of weeks ago, right after that happened. He talked about the fact that he likes to get to know the players personally. He has a personal relationship with the guys. Remember, Antonio Brown was over Tom Brady's house. So this one he can't be mad about Bill Belichick about, right? Because we know in the past he's had his issues with Bill Belichick, contract negotiations, etc. There was that whole write-up in ESPN a couple of years ago with Seth Wickersham, with the whole Garoppolo controversy, if you will. Now it all worked out for the Patriots. They've won, what, 3 Super Bowls since that, or 2 Super Bowls, rather, since that article's come out. So it didn't end up being a big deal long term. But we know that there's been some healthy friction, if you will. Robert Kraft even alluded to the fact that sometimes friction is good for business. But if you also look at it from Brady's perspective this time around, he can't blame Bill Belichick for this one. Bill Belichick wanted him too. This is Robert Kraft, right? It's a weird position for Robert Kraft to be in right now, because Robert Kraft's usually the guy that is the problem solver, right? He's usually the guy that's in between the two sides, okay? With the contracts with Brady and Belichick and all this stuff, like, Robert Kraft over the year has been the peacemaker. That's what Robert Kraft does. He's the peacemaker. But in this scenario, he's got both sides mad at him. Belichick's not happy that Antonio Brown's gone, and Tom Brady's not happy that Antonio Brown's gone. And we all know that from all the reporting that came out from that particular event, that it was Robert Kraft that wanted to move on from the player. Okay, it was Robert Kraft. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Steve. He's in Miami to kick things off. What's up, Steve?
How are you today?
Good, good. What do you got?
Okay, a couple of things. One, first of all, Ben Watson, when he was released last Monday, it was because Patriots, according to Bill, the Patriots didn't have a move to make. Well, now they do. They put the second Jacob on the IR.
Yep.
And
roster spots open.
Another player that Brady was upset was not even brought back. And
Steve, to your point, he was very upset. You could tell. He talked about how Ben Watson is a better person than a player, and they had their lockers next to each other. I'm completely with you. That's a good point. That's another thing that aggravated Brady, and this happened on this particular game week.
Yeah, and now that there's an opening, it's going to be interesting to see who they bring in. And my point is, okay, he may not be the best blocking tight end, and that, but right now you need some pass receivers. I mean, nothing against Meyer, and I'm looking forward to seeing more of Meyer, and nothing against Gunner. But last night, with Dorsett out and with Gordon out, you had Edelman and 2 rookies, and rookies that were undrafted.
Yep. No, you're exactly right, Steve, and I appreciate the phone call. Another thing that Brady said after the game last night, it's the first time that he can remember in 20 years where they had to say in the same personnel grouping for the entire half, essentially. And that's another way that Brady was illustrating the fact we don't have enough right now. We're not deep right now. This is the least amount of depth we've had since I've been here. That's essentially what Brady was saying last night. I mean, Brady made it abundantly clear last night that this team is not good enough from an offensive perspective. So I know a lot of people, a lot of fans in this town get upset when the media is negative about certain things. But I hope everybody understands that the reason everybody's so negative today about the Patriots, the quarterback started this last night. Now, we've already had the narrative about the offense struggling, but Tom Brady, each and every week, he adds to this narrative. All right, if you want to hop on board, the number is 617-779-7937. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so right here on WEI Late Night. What do you make of Tom Brady at the podium last night when he's asked about the offense and his response was, "We'll see." We'll get you trending in just a second.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Losing sleep over the Sox, Pats, B's, and C's? We get it. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
What's your assessment of where you guys are as an offense right now? Do you think it's been good enough?
We'll see. We're 6-0, so try to get 7-0.
All right, that's the Prince of Positivity, Tom Brady, after the game last night. He has gone from the Prince of Positivity to Eeyore. That's what Tom Brady is right now. Every week, it's something else that he's going to be negative about. And last night, man, I hated that. Ben Volen asked him the question. He had about a 10-second pause before he said, "We'll see." Because what he's saying is, "I need more receivers. This isn't good enough right now." And Brady's is exceptionally cranky this year and pouty this year. And it's been going on for about 3 to 4 weeks, really, ever since Antonio Brown was let go. This has been the attitude of Tom Brady. The number 617-779-7937. Let's get to Danny's in Boston to start things off. What's up, Dan?
Hi. I just want to comment on Brady's grumpiness. And the fact is that Belichick did make an effort to go out and get N'Keal Harry. And there have been a lot of injuries this year. But that happens to every team. Every once in a while, you get really bit in the rear end and you have a season where you have a disproportionately high number of injuries.
Okay, yeah, Dan, I agree with you. That's a fair point. But let's also acknowledge this when we're talking about Belichick. Now, I don't put the Antonio Brown thing on Belichick. That was obviously a Robert Kraft decision, and I'm sure Bill Belichick's not happy about that. But going back to the N'Keal Harry point, I look at the selection of N'Keal Harry in the draft, right? Remember what Bill Belichick did before then. He missed out on Golden Tate. He missed out on Cole Beasley. He missed out on Adam Humphries. All these veterans that he was going after in the offseason, even a guy like Jared Cook, a tight end, they didn't get any of those guys, didn't land any of those guys. So in the first round of the draft, he went after a guy in N'Keal Harry that Brady was going to have to put in work with and develop that player. And we've seen in the past, now Malcolm Mitchell at the end of 2016 kind of came on, but with rookie receivers, it usually doesn't work with Brady. And now this guy is going to miss, what, 8 games, and then you're finally going to get him back. So who knows if he's going to be good?
Right. But I just think that, you know, that you can't predict all these injuries, and there are times when, you know, you get a bad hand dealt to you, and you have to suck it up and basically, you know, hope that you can get another receiver in the next week or two.
Yeah, that's fair enough. No, that's fair. I mean, Dan, there's no way, and I appreciate the phone call. His line's open at 617-779-7937. To Dan's point, there's no way that they could have known David Andrews right before the season. Really, it was right before week one, he has the blood clot issue and he's no longer a member of the team. You couldn't factor, or he's a member of the team, but he's not playing. You can't factor in James Devlin, your fullback, having a neck injury. But you can't factor in, like, what you went into the season with in terms of the tight end position. You can factor that in. Matt LaCoste, nobody ever heard of him until he signed with the Patriots. That guy's always injured. And then Ryan Izzo, let's be real. I mean, me, Brian, who's producing tonight, any of us could do just as good of a job as Izzo's doing blocking right now. That guy is a turnstile. You see him last night? Let's get to Mike. He's in Boston. What's up, Mike?
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good.
Well, I want you to think about something. And Brady's been to 9 Super Bowls, correct?
Yes, 6-3.
Okay. He's got maybe 1 or 2 years left.
Fair.
He knows. He knows. With the receivers he has now, they're not going to get past Kansas City.
Okay? Yeah, I agree.
So, for him to have this attitude, I don't blame him at all.
Yeah, but Mike,
he needs clutch players.
Mike,
he doesn't
need
receivers.
Yeah, hold on, Mike. Mike, I agree with your overall point with Brady and the receiving corps that they need more help. I've said that. They definitely do. I did like an hour on that last night, and I'll get into some of the names in just a little bit. But, Mike, here's my issue. Why does he have to make that abundantly clear every time he goes to a postgame press conference?
Don't
you think, Mike, don't you think Bill knows?
That's why he's been to 9 Super Bowls.
That's why he's been to 9 Super Bowls? Because he talks to the media about the receiver?
He's a competitor, yeah.
Okay,
he knows. Are you going to rely on Philip Dorsett in the playoffs catching?
No, I'm
not. Are you going to rely on Jacoby Myers?
Mike, I'm not personally, but don't you think that Bill Belichick realizes they need an upgrade at the receiver position?
Well, they had Demaryius Thomas. They had Edelman.
They still have him, yeah.
They got rid of Demaryius Thomas when they got Antonio Brown.
Right. I mean, that's a casualty of the Antonio Brown thing. And that really sucks because I thought Demaryius Thomas, I get it was a preseason game. But that final preseason game, it looked like he's still at his athleticism. Now, last week he had, what, 4 catches for the Jets? But again, that was Luke Falk throwing him the football. I mean, that was an unfortunate set of circumstances because of the Antonio Brown pickup. You decided to trade Demaryius Thomas. I would have liked to see Demaryius Thomas. Like, don't you think you could have used Demaryius Thomas last night in that game? But I can't really solely put that on Bill Belichick because you were putting all your eggs in the Antonio Brown basket, and you can't imagine that after 11 days you're going to have to cut the player. They wouldn't have signed him if they thought that there would be a chance after 11 days that they were going to have to cut this guy. So I can't really put that on Bill Belichick. But back to his original point. Because Brady's a competitor and because Brady's gone to 9 Super Bowls, that's why he's saying this stuff to the media. Don't you think that Bill Belichick realizes that he needs to make a massive upgrade at the wide receiver position? Now, you can criticize the way that Belichick handled the offseason as it pertains to that particular position. I'm on board with that. I said it all summer long. I hated the way they approached the wide receiver position last summer. I hated it. And it felt like the Antonio Brown thing, that was pure luck. Antonio Brown worked his way out of Oakland because he didn't want to play there, and you were able to pick him up because you're the Patriots and because you have this Patriots mystique. Okay, but imagine if they started the season without Antonio Brown, or they continued to go on the season with Antonio Brown like they're at now. Like, they still did not do a good job with that position in general, and they almost got bailed out by Antonio Brown. Now, the thing about Belichick, or the thing about Brady, rather, is this. There's no reason that he has to go up to the podium and say this crap about, oh, it's very tough to learn the playbook. The tight ends, oh, these guys are trying. Last night, well, are you going to get it right in terms of is this offense good enough, is how the question was asked. And Brady paused for 10 seconds and said, we'll see. Why can't he just say something along the lines as, hey, we're working on it. We made some progress tonight. Jacoby Myers, and he did give Jacoby Myers credit last night, but we made some progress. But it's a work in progress. We're still working. But instead of saying, we'll see, that was all doom and gloom. That was all doom and gloom. Brady does not have to do that publicly. Bill Belichick knows he needs to make an upgrade at the receiver position. There's no reason for Brady to be pouty and for Brady to be whiny at the podium last night. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Dave. He's in Rhode Island. What's up, Dave?
Hey, Dave. Can you hear me?
Yeah, what's going on?
Hey, just a couple thoughts. So, post bye week, I mean, you got a couple people coming off IR. We don't really know what Wynn's going to be like when he comes back, nor N'Keal Harry. But I think having someone that, you know, knows the playbook a little bit better than Newhouse does sort of makes someone like Cooney and Karras on that side of the line a little bit more strong. Also, Josh Gordon is definitely above average wide receiver as far as blocking goes. You add N'Keal Harry, who has a very similar body type, and a lot of the scouting reports said he gets after it when he's, you know, run blocking. So, just a little, it's not going to be perfect. I think our run game, especially to the outside with those cutbacks, which seem to be working, which they're not necessarily going to go into the well too much with. I think those get a lot stronger. I just want to know what your thoughts are on that. Thanks.
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Dave. I don't have much faith in the run game getting on track this season. I really don't, because I don't see the line being that dominant unit it was a year ago. Because, see, here's the thing with the Patriots last year. So we all realized that there was issues last year with the receiver position. We would all acknowledge that last year, right? Despite the fact they won the Super Bowl, they were 11-5 during the regular season, and the passing game was never really great all season long. Now, when Brady needed to make throws, like in the Super Bowl, he found Gronk. In the AFC title game, found Edelman, found Gronk on that final drive for a couple of first downs. When he needed to make throws, he could. But when they tried to just be this high-octane passing attack, it didn't work last year because the receivers were not good enough. So they found a way to morph into a good offense, which was, let's go back to the basics. We're going to run out of the I formation, a lot of play action. And that's when the Patriots took off offensively, when they became that dominant running team. I don't see them being able to make the transition this year with what they have on the offensive line. Now without two fullbacks at this particular point in time, I just don't see that transition happening. And Josh Gordon, by the way, went out last night with that knee injury. Apparently they're saying that, or multiple reports are saying essentially that it's not anything seriousness. He avoided a serious injury. But I got a lot of issues with that guy right now. Are you getting the production that you thought you were going to get out of Josh Gordon? He has not been productive whatsoever this year. And really, you thought coming into the season, like, this is this great thing that they were getting Josh Gordon back based on what he did last year. This year, he doesn't look like the same player. Does he look like the same player to you guys? He certainly doesn't to me. Let's get to Josh in Westfield. What's up, Josh?
Good evening, Brian. How are you?
Hey, what's going on? Is this Paul?
Hey, Brian.
Hey, what's up, man?
Nothing. I was just thinking about how this thing with Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
I remember years ago I spent a fortune advertising cars and classified. That went away to Craigslist, and this guy makes money off these things that he says, and he says things that are like maybe inflammatory, like an old school wrestling guy that aggravates and rattles. But he's harmless, and when you think this girl's thing was thrown out of federal court, it didn't have what you call merit, and the way it turned out against us, and now you mentioned how you're right, Josh Gordon's not the same. It just stinks. You know, it seems like he should maybe be given another chance, and that we shouldn't look at what the way society reacts, but look at what he does in the field within a certain reason, you know?
Yeah, it's a fair point, Paul, and I appreciate the phone call. Now, I can't say that Antonio Brown's harmless. We don't know that, right? We don't know what happened with these incidents for sure. We have no idea what happened. So I can't say that he's harmless. And also, he is kind of a deadbeat. I mean, we can all acknowledge that, right? I mean, how many guys is he not paying? He didn't pay a guy with a fish tank situation where he needed to get a clean. He wouldn't pay that guy. He didn't pay a cook at the Pro Bowl. So there is some truth to Antonio Brown just being a complete scumbag and not paying people. There is that. Now, if you want to argue whether or not the Patriots jumped the gun too early with those text messages, this is what I would say to that. Why the hell was he texting after that? This team was sticking by Antonio Brown through that whole story that came out on the Monday about Sports Illustrated. And then on Wednesday, he's texting a woman that accused him of sexual misconduct. Does he not think that that woman's not going to relay that to Sports Illustrated or relay that to the NFL after she just talked to Sports Illustrated? It's just not a good look for Antonio Brown whatsoever. 617-779-7937 is the number. Let's get to Eric in Plymouth. What's up, Eric?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. Real quick on the previous caller, Antonio Brown, calling him harmless. I mean, he almost killed a toddler with a piece of furniture.
Yeah,
so,
he threw a couch off an apartment building. The guy is definitely, he's the opposite of harmless right now. I mean, also, not to mention the fact, the guy doesn't pay anyone. I mean, he's scummy.
All types of issues with him. I mean, and so, the football player, Antonio Brown, great. The actual guy, I don't want him on this team, and I don't think he's coming back. I hope not. So I just want to talk about how I thought Myers actually looked really good yesterday.
I agree.
I think he had four catches on four targets. Mm-hmm. Some of the catches he made, I mean, not the best balls coming out of Brady's hand, and he was kind of scooping them up off the turf. He looked pretty good.
Eric, to your point, he had the one where he scooped it off the turf, and then he had that other one where he almost like reached over the defender, pick it up. Myers looked really good. Yeah, he definitely did.
It made me feel good about him. And, yeah. I mean, if our full receiving core, if we get Edelman, Gordon, Dorsett, Myers, I mean, Izzo, it's showing a little bit of promise. The big thing that this offense misses is obviously Rob Gronkowski. We didn't really have any replacement plan for him. And, I mean, we miss Gronkowski in a couple aspects, I think. One is just every play he was out in the passing game, it was double coverage on him. So he was opening up someone else just by being out there. And then I think we're missing him in the run game, too. He was a great run blocker. So we didn't replace him at all. And it's the issues with the offense, I really think, they all just stem back to that.
Yeah, it's a great point, Eric, and I appreciate the phone call, because the thing with Gronk is this. Even though Edelman was the one that was the Super Bowl MVP, and Edelman's been a great playoff performer, and we've seen Amendola was a great playoff performer for the Patriots in the past, when Rob Gronkowski's on the football field, even a diminished version of Gronk last year who was beat up, the number one priority of the defense is how do we stop Rob Gronkowski, right? So Edelman's the second guy you're worried about. You're worried about Rob Gronkowski first, and now Edelman's the main guy, and who's the number two guy right now? Gordon has not lived up to that. Philip Dorsett's been fine when he's on the field, but he's dealing with a hamstring injury. I like what I see from Jacoby Myers, but the thing that the Patriots need right now is injection of a big-time talent. That's what Antonio Brown was. he could replace Rob Gronkowski's talent gap that they left behind. And Antonio Brown, at this point, is a better football player than Rob Gronkowski, and I get they play different positions. But what they need right now is they need a massive talent at the receiver position, at the tight end position, so Edelman can go back to his primary role as the number two guy in the slot, so to speak, and you got a game plan for somebody else. All right, let's get to Mikey's in New Hampshire. What's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
Good.
I'm a little confused as to why you think Brady's not allowed to vent his frustrations during press conferences. I mean, I can understand why he's upset. You got rid of Antonio Brown, who's maybe one of the best wide receivers in the NFL, prematurely, as far as I'm concerned. And Gronkowski's gone. So who's he got left
to? The Gronk situation, how can Brady be mad about that? That's one of his good friends that decided to retire. He can't really be mad about that. Now, I agree. He's definitely upset about the Antonio Brown situation. Mike, my whole point is, why does he have to do that in a press conference setting, be whiny and act pouty? How is that leadership? Tom Brady's the prince of positivity. He's built himself up as this positive guy, and all he's done for the past 3 weeks at the podium has been negative.
Well, maybe because he feels like he is getting no support.
Mike, I agree with you, but can he talk to Bill Belichick about that? Don't you think Bill Belichick's working the phones right now trying to figure out what type of receiver he can pick up for Tom Brady?
I don't know. Is he?
So you think,
Mike?
You think, Mike, knowing what you know about Bill Belichick, you think they're not going to make a move for a wide receiver, a tight end before the deadline?
I certainly hope they do, because if they don't, I'll be very, very, very disappointed.
Yeah, no, they definitely will. I appreciate the phone call. You can grab his line if you like to. It's 617-779-7937. Belichick knows. Okay, Belichick is not going to handle this like the Red Sox handle things, okay? So don't worry about that. Belichick will pick somebody up. Like, remember all season long, we're talking about the Red Sox. Hey, you need somebody in the bullpen. And Dave Dombrowski never went up and did that. Now, when you're Bill Belichick, you're going to fix what's wrong with your team. Now, you may not be able to totally fix it because the offensive line sucks and the wide receivers in general. It's not a deep position right now. So you may not be able to fix it to make you a juggernaut from an offensive perspective. But he will get somebody at the trading deadline. We'll get into some of the names as well in terms of who do you want to see the Patriots pick up. A.J. Green's out there, maybe. Stephon Diggs, maybe. Although both teams say they're not trading those players. Mohamed Sanu, maybe. We'll get into all those names and what the Patriots need to do at the trading deadline. Plus, a comment from Robert Kraft last night that really stuck out to me that I want to get to as well. Brian Barrett with you right here on WEI Late Night. Let's get to Josh in Westfield. What's up, Josh?
Good evening, Brian. How are you?
Is this Paul?
Hey, yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Who can sleep when there's so much Boston sports to talk about? This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
What grade would you give Brady's performance last night?
F.
Ooh, what?
F. F, Skip Bayless. F.
All right, so that was Shannon Sharp after the game last night, or I should say this morning on his show on FS1. Brian Barrett with you for the next hour and a half or so right here on WEI Late Night. The number is 617-779-7937 if you want to hop on board. You agree with me that it's getting tired and it's getting old hearing Brady pout and whine after each and every game and during the week talking about how the receivers, it takes a while to catch on. The tight ends, yeah, they're trying. That's what he said earlier on this week. And then you factor that in with what happened last night when he's asked about, is this offense good enough? He waits 10 seconds and said, we'll see. I'm sick and tired of the whining from Tom Brady, the leader of the team. I'm sympathetic to the fact that he doesn't have the weapons. He doesn't have a great offensive line right now. But you don't have to go to the podium each and every time and basically complain and go from being the prince of positivity to this negative guy right now. He's Eeyore. That's what Tom Brady's turned into this particular season. But in terms of Shannon Sharp giving Brady an F last night, Brady had the one bad interception. Nobody would defend that. That was a horrible throw. Even Brady himself said after the game last night, poor decision on his behalf. And that's now three consecutive games, by the way, that Brady's had three bad turnovers. So maybe all this negativity, maybe he's got to realize that some of this negativity is heading onto the football field, because that's three consecutive games that Brady has had a horrible interception. Just an atrocious interception. The one that he had against the Redskins, that was Eli Manning-esque, where he's like backing up and he just threw it up. He's looking for James White on a wheel route. In the Bills game, he throws a touchdown, or rather an interception in the end zone. And in both games, Washington and Buffalo, he takes points off the board. And that throw to Edelman last night, I don't know what the hell he was doing. Janoris Jenkins with the interception, but that was nowhere near Julian Edelman. That was just a terrible ball by Brady. So that's three consecutive games with a bad turnover for Brady. But I don't know how you can give anybody an F when they throw for 334 yards and they have 31 completions on the night. He was 31 of 41. You certainly cannot give Brady an F. I'd give him about a B for considering the fact what he was working with last night in terms of the lack of weapons and these Patriots receivers dropping like flies right now. Of course, Dorsett was not available last night. He's dealing with a hamstring issue right now. And that could be a couple of weeks. Remember, those hamstring things, they linger. And then when you're looking at Josh Gordon, he had to leave the game with a knee injury. Now, Shannon Sharp did go on to say that it was Tom Brady's fault that Josh Gordon got hurt last night, because Brady took a sack and he fumbled the football, and Josh Gordon was chasing down the defender when that happened. I mean, that is just an absolutely ridiculous point. It'd be one thing if, like, okay, so if Tom Brady was throwing a pass to Josh Gordon and he threw it high and Gordon was, like, coming across the middle and he took a shot that was penalized, okay, I could see you, like, blaming the quarterback for that. But he's making a football play and he's chasing down a guy. And by the way, that strip sack's not even really on Brady. You can make the argument maybe he held on to the ball a little bit too long. But how about Izzo block somebody? Like, is that too much to ask? Could Izzo just step up and block somebody? Like, would that be too much for a tight end in the NFL to be able to do? Because right now they have nothing in terms of a competent option at the tight end position. That's why I'm wondering this week, considering the fact that they did not activate Ben Watson and they decided to move on from the player, if this week they're going to consider putting Ben Watson back on the team. Because now you've got an open roster spot. You've got more guys going on IR. So what Bill Belichick said earlier on in the week in his press conference was that there wasn't a spot right now. He said he liked Ben, but at this particular point, there wasn't a spot for Ben Watson on the roster. Well, now let's call the coach out on his bluff. He said there wasn't a spot on the roster for Ben Watson. There has to be now. And especially considering that Lacoste can't stay on the football field and Izzo can't block, what's the harm now at bringing Ben Watson back and giving him an opportunity? Because you can't tell me, and I understand that Ben Watson is 38 years old, you can't tell me after watching this crap for the past 6 weeks in terms of the tight ends, you can't tell me that Ben Watson isn't a better option, even at his advanced age of 38, that he isn't a better option than what the Patriots are trotting out there right now at the tight end position. So remember that. Bill Belichick said there wasn't a roster spot right now. But I have to imagine at this particular point, with more guys going on IR and the ineptitude that they're getting in terms of the tight end right now and the tight ends they have on this roster, that they're going to need to go out there and activate Ben Watson. Unless you want to make a trade for a tight end, but I don't see that big name tight end that's on the market. Now, I've heard some of the Tyler Eifert rumors that maybe Tyler Eifert could become available. I don't want any part of Tyler Eifert. I want no part of Tyler Eifert on this football team. First of all, the guy can't stay healthy. The guy has never been healthy in his NFL career. He's had like one really good NFL season all the way back in 2013 where he was incredible. I'm not disputing that. But ever since then, the guy's never played 16 games. He's hurt every year, and it's not exactly like he's having a good year this year in Cincinnati. But the Patriots right now, their number one priority is going to be going out there on the open market and going after one of these big name receivers, because they need an injection of talent at the receiver position. And another thing they're going to have on their hands, if they don't go out there and get a wide receiver that's going to be able to help out this offense and mainly a veteran receiver, well, then you're going to have a cranky quarterback for the remainder of the season like we've seen for the past couple of weeks here. Another thing I wanted to touch on real briefly here. Sony Michel last night, 22 carries for 86 yards, 3.9 yards per carry. Really, before that big run, remember he ripped off that 26-yard run at the end of the game there? if it wasn't for that run, I mean, it's a really ugly night for Sonny Michel. What was he, like 21 for, like somewhere in the 60s before that run at the end of the game last night? It was not a good night for Sonny Michel. And the issue the Patriots are now having in terms of the running game is they can't pound it up the middle because they're not getting that block that they were used to getting last year. And when Sonny Michel tries to get to the edge, he's not able to get to the edge. I mean, they tried to do it last night on a 4th-and-1 to begin the game. He can't get to the edge. So my question mark is, or my question rather, is if Sonny Michel is not going to be somebody that makes you miss, right? When he gets to the outside, he's not going to make anybody miss. So if he's not going to do that, and if you don't have the personnel up front to create those holes for Sonny Michel, why do you keep trotting him out there? Why do you keep trotting him out there? Because I saw at the end of the game last night, Brandon Bolden's picking up key yardage in those type of situations. Tom Brady was a better short yard running back than Sonny Michel was last year, or was last night. I thought that Sonny Michel was supposed to be that every down in between the tackles runner, and quite frankly, up until this point in the season, he has not delivered on that. And I understand that the line has not been great, but again, this is a guy that you selected in the first round of the draft, and you were hoping to get more production from that player this year compared to his rookie year. Does anybody see, like, improvement from Sonny Michel? What does he do last year, or what does he do this year better than last year? I don't see it right now.
Damien Harris time.
Yeah, get Damian Harris. Maybe he can be activated, Brian, for a game because they haven't activated him once this season. Again, you take a guy in the third round, he hasn't played. Great. I mean, I get it in the secondary. Like, you take a guy like Juwan Williams because you're going to develop him and you have a great secondary. So I get why he's not playing. But Damian Harris, it's not like you're getting really good production out of your main running back, Sonny Michel, right now. So I just don't understand why Sonny Michel is getting all these opportunities if he's not delivering. He has not been good this season, and I understand the line hasn't been good either, but Sonny Michel, quite frankly, has been not the player that everybody thought he was going to be. Last year, you look back to his postseason run where he had the 6 touchdowns. He led the postseason in rushing, but a lot of that, remember, was he had some massive holes that were opened up by that Patriots offensive line. This year, he doesn't have those massive holes to run through. So that's kind of the issue for Sonny Michel right now.
See, Brian, and that's the thing. You can get all the receivers you want and all the running backs that you want, but if you don't have the offensive line to give Tom time in the pocket and to create those holes for the running backs, to me, that's their biggest issue. And you look at the Patriots over the years, their kryptonite has always been when the Patriots O-line gets outplayed by the D-line of the opposing team, especially later in the season.
Yeah, it's a fair point. I mean, you reference in particular those Giants Super Bowls, but even more recently, remember the one year that, or the year that Dante Scarnecchia wasn't with the team for, what, 2 years? And then they go in 2015, they play the Broncos in an AFC championship game, and Brady's hammered in that game. The guy had no time in the pocket whatsoever, and it was like the worst scenario ever because you were going against the best defense at that time in the NFL, the 2015 Denver Broncos, that basically carried Peyton Manning and his noodle arm to a Super Bowl that year. So it was the perfect recipe for the Patriots to lose a game, no protection for Brady, and you're going up against this unbelievable defense that was the Denver Broncos at that particular point in time. But the two guys that I've been the most upset with on this team right now in terms of players on the football field, Sonny Michel and Josh Gordon. Josh Gordon this year, he doesn't even look like the player he was a season ago. All right, a lot more to get into. The number is 617-779-7937. Some interesting things that came out of Robert Kraft's mouth last night that I want to get into. We had Rob Gronkowski make his debut as a broadcaster. We'll get into all that. You're listening to Brian Barrett right here on WEI.
The only way you can take...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.